grace and your goodness. Lord, I just ask for your help this morning. Lord, that you would just meet with us. Dear God, all is vain unless you meet with us this morning, Lord. And pray and touch hearts. Pray and touch our minds, Lord. I pray and give strength. I pray and give encouragement. Lord, comfort and help, Lord. God, that we would just finish our course and stay faithful to you to the end. And Lord, that we be about your business. And Lord, I pray again now you just lead, guide, and direct and all that's said and done. And that you would receive the glory and honor and praise through all. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand this morning, let's turn to page 52. If you're able to stand, page 52, to God be the glory. Page number 52.
As far as announcements go, just keep this in prayer. I got some things, I got some ideas and things in my mind and my head that I'd like to do. And one thing that came across my mind Thursday when we were heading back from the public outreach, I appreciate everybody's prayers for that. We actually had 10 people out there. We actually ran out of signs. We didn't have enough signs for everybody that was out there. And I would say that I appreciate everybody coming out there, and I appreciate everybody that prayed, because I think God's doing something with that. I just believe He is. We've had a lot of visitors Sunday morning. We had a couple visitors Wednesday night. I mean, Wednesday night was good. There was quite a few people here Wednesday night. So I appreciate the prayers. And as I was driving back, Miss Burt was with us, and we were driving back past the park where we had the picnic, and they had that huge, what's it called, amphitheater, right? I'd like to have a preaching thing out there next year and invite some preachers out there. I don't know, for a 3-day event, 4-day event, something. If you can play a band out there, we can try to do some preaching out there. Amen. So I want you to keep that in prayer. I'm going to go over, Lord willing, maybe a couple weeks here and check with the town hall to see if it can even be rented, how it even works. But I'd like to do that. I'd like to try to rent that thing sometime next year if the Lord would allow, and Terry, have some preaching in the evening time. Just do it in the evening and maybe provide a meal at the end of it for the community if anybody comes by. just to get the gospel out. So my thinking is, if you can play a band there and the neighbors got to hear it, surely you should be able to preach there to where the neighbors got to hear it.
Amen.
Right? And so I know over at Easton they do a tent meeting. Why not try to do a park meeting? Something just run through my mind and some thoughts that were in my head. So just keep that in prayer. If God will, if God would allow, next year, if we can rent it out for 3 days, I'm not sure yet. It's just an idea I have in my mind. But that God would do something with it. So along those lines, also provide, please keep in prayer that God would bring more families into the church. And those that are here, that God would raise up individuals to help in ministry opportunities. I can't do it all. It's impossible for me to do it all. There's just no way. I can't be in all places at all times talking to all people. But if there's brethren that are willing to take part and take something with it and run with it, you have my blessing on it. If you're faithful to God. Now, this is what I'll say. I've had a number of people since I've been here say that they want to do something for God, yet you show up for one service. My thing is, be faithful.
Yes.
You got to be faithful. The Bible says that Paul said, God counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Faithful to the things of God. Faithful to the house of God. Being faithful. So, you know, just being faithful to God. And then God will provide more to open this opportunity, especially with the COVID kind of slowing down just a little bit. That God will maybe open up something for a nursing home. Something with, I know Brother Joe and Sister Chris are trying to get back into jails. That God would open that thing up there to where they can get back in there. And that we have more opportunities with that. Pray for them at that farmer's market. I know God's doing things there with it. So we got ministries going out and things going out. Keep, if you can't do it, I understand. If you can't do it, you can at least pray for it then if you can't. If you can't get out, pray. Because I believe God's answering the prayers of those who are praying, because I see the Lord doing things behind the scenes in people's lives and the visitors that are starting to come out from nowhere. So just continue to pray for that God would continue to bless that. Also, another thing here that's going to change. I've taken over the cleaning list. Okay, so we're going to, now it's going to take place in August. Melanie and I are going to take care of the cleaning of the church from here to August. Starting August 1st, Lord willing, next week, we're going to have a sign-up sheet on the back there. And Lord willing, I'm going to put that mowing sheet back there. I'm going to make a place on that bulletin board back there. We're going to do the cleaning the same way we kind of do the mowing. God lays it upon your heart. You're free to do it. You come on over here and you can do it, because I've had other people ask about the cleaning as well. So that way we can have that over there. You can sign up. If you can't make it a week, then Melanie and I will take care of it. So anything that can't get filled in, we'll take care of it. So again, if the Lord, and we'll put up a sheet up there of all that needs to be done, how it needs to be cleaned, and the directions will be all there to where you can just come in. If you want to clean, I'll get you a key to where you can come whenever you need to come and be able to take care of that. So Lord willing, that'll take place starting August 1st. All right. I thought there was something else I got to say. Yeah, so after church this morning, and I'll mention it after the Sunday morning service, I need to see all the members of the church downstairs, men and women. Just some things I got to go over, some things that just are taking place. And so I just need to talk to all the members of the church downstairs. It won't be very long, and Lord willing, I'll try to cut back the service, the Sunday morning service, if the Lord permits. That way we're not staying long, just to go over a few things downstairs. So if you're a member, both men and women, if you're a member, come on downstairs and get some few things to discuss. Let's go over our Bible memory verse real quick. Page number 9. Again here. Page number 9. We'll just repeat and go through the whole thing here this morning. All right. So let's say it all together. Life is brief. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is uncertain. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Death is sure, Hebrews 9:27. And then is it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Christ may appear any moment, Matthew 24:44. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. No escape for procrastinators, Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is first was by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Amen. All right, let's finish out one more song here. You can stay seated, page number 51, Blessed Assurance. Sunday school. take your Bibles this morning. Lord willing, we'll pick up here again back in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 4. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 4. Genesis 2, 4. All right, the Bible says here, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 4, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when the Lord created, when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field, before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let me pray one more time. Heavenly Father, again, just thank you for this day. Lord, I ask that you just give wisdom and guidance. Lord, direct my word, my thoughts, dear God, just open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to receive what you'd have us to get this morning here in the Sunday school hour. And Lord, that you would bless it. And you receive the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says here, kind of last week we looked at the first part there where it talked about in verse number 5, the latter part of it where it talks about, and there was not a man to till the ground. Before Noah's flood, it didn't rain. And the Bible says that there was a mist that went up from the ground. But then it also says that there was not a man found to till the ground. And kind of looked at last week how it's essential for all of us, till God calls us home someday, to be about the Lord's business. Amen. Not only physically, but spiritually. To do some type of work. To be busy. And if you can't move, if you're laid up in a hospital bed, or like Brother Les, what he's going through right now, laid up in that bed, there's still a work that can be done even in that type of a condition. You say, well, preacher, what kind of work can be done when you're laid up in a hospital bed and you can barely move? Or what could somebody do that's paralyzed from the neck down? God still has something for them to do. I said it last week, as long as you can talk or have your mouth or your cognitive thinking and you're breathing, God can do something with you. You take someone, even in such a case as Helen Keller, who couldn't hear, couldn't talk, or couldn't see. Yet her life was used for something. Now, I don't think she was saved, but her life had purpose to it. She was able to use her life. And the same can happen for us if we allow God to work in our life. Now look, I like to run. I like to get out and run. Some people despise running. And I understand why. Sometimes I don't like doing it. But one of the reasons I like running is because there's times where it challenges me when I don't want to be challenged. So I try to take Chap out once in a while, and I got this little section where I'm trying to train him and teach him how to run with me. And he's getting a hold of it, but he's alive and he gets a little lazy. And so what I do is I take him over there. I don't know if some of you are familiar with it, over there, Hanover Street, to where the old children's hospital used to be. I don't know if anybody's ever been driven by there or not, but it's a long entrance that goes up a little hill and then comes back down the hill. And so I'll get over there and I'll start running around that thing. And as I start running up that hill, as you run up the hill, you get tired, and the first thought that comes to your mind is to stop and just, you can stop, just walk up the rest of it. I try to push myself, say, no, I'm not going to stop walking. I'm going to try to the best of my ability to run this thing out, even if it's a slow trot, because I want to try to help myself get in positions to where I'm not going to quit when it gets hard. That's one of the reasons why I run. I want to try to put my flesh physically in a situation to where when it's unpleasant, when I want to quit, when I want to stop, when I want to walk, I try not to. You see, I believe God desires to put us in situ. Listen, you will never grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ unless there's an opportunity for you to exercise your faith. You will never grow unless you allow God to put you in situations that are uncomfortable, that are not pleasant, that are afflicting, that are trialsome, that are burdensome, because it's only in those situations to where your faith can be made stronger. Do you see football season's coming up, and there's a bunch of men that are trying to obtain a physical crown by either getting a ring or a title? And all summer long, in the heat and in the trials of summer, they're going into a gym and they're lifting weight to the max in order to make their muscles stronger so that when they get on that field, they can compete to the best of their ability. But if you took a team that never did any of those things and then tries to go out there compete, they can still compete, but they're not going to beat the team that was working out, strengthening themselves, and going through practice and all those other things. You can take that carnal example and you can apply it to your Christian walk. Growth only comes through resistance. Think about it. Resistance training. When you're lifting weights, when you're running cardio, how do you build up your cardio? You've got to get out there and run. You're not going to get cardio eating Pizza Hut and Dunkin' Donuts and sitting on your couch. It's not going to happen. And so when the time comes, hey, get up and run, you're going to be like, hang on a second. I'll get there. You ain't going to be able to run. What does the Bible say? Let us run the race that's set before us. We need runners. Not physically, spiritually. But you can apply the physical to the spiritual. So, I like to try to put myself in situations that are uncomfortable physically in order to try to grow. Now, can I run a mile the same as I used to when I was 18, 19, 20 years old? Absolutely not. But I can still get out there and try to run it. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? There's a hymn that talks about flowery beds of ease. I'm afraid a lot of Christians today are resting in flowery beds of ease. A lot will ask the question to a preacher, why are these things happening? Preacher, why is this happening in my life? I had an individual last night dealing with a situation last night. Usually I've often found when things are rough, things are trials, battles in the mind, it usually means there's something going on spiritually. I'll say that again. Usually when you're depressed the most, usually when you're struggling the most, usually when you want to quit the most, is so often, I've seen through my life, so often something's going on in somebody's life spiritually. And I see it as the enemy in the flesh trying to get you just to quit, because the enemy in the flesh know that right around the corner something good's getting ready to happen spiritually. Do you see this walk, this Christian walk? The enemy wants nothing better than for you to quit and to give up and to say, I've had enough of it. It's not worth it. You say, well, preacher, how do you grow? How do you get stronger? Allow the Lord to turn it for good and don't quit. You say you talk about this a lot. Yes, I talk about it a lot because I know there's a lot going on in the people's lives. And I know the devil would like nothing better than to say, just I forget I quit. I'm just going to go to the bar and I'm just going to drink it up and forget this nonsense of trying to live for the Christian life. I've had a lot of people lately tell me that. I forget, it's just not worth it. I can't handle the mind battles. I can't handle what's going on in my mind. I can't handle the things that I'm going through. Well, how do you get stronger? You got to get up and you got to start running. Not physically, spiritually. You got to if you want to be strong in those times when the temptations and the afflictions come. The Bible says that there was not a man to till the ground. God created us from the very beginning to be busy, to work, to be about His business, to be about what He would have us to do, and not to be sit idle and live lives on flowery beds of ease. No, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, because when you're weak, then He can now make you strong. I don't know if you've ever lifted weights before, if you've ever run before, if you've done any athletic endeavor before, but there's times where you feel weak. But you know what? Before the body ever goes, listen, I'm going to tell you this morning, before the body ever goes, the mind and the heart go first. The heart and the mind go first before the body ever lays down and quits. Look, you have soldiers who have gone through and done things that that people can't even comprehend, because their mind and their heart never quit, even though their body wanted it to be done. They never quit. They said, I'm just going to keep going forward. How does that come about? By learning to work when you're young. By learning. And look, life is mostly full of situations that are not pleasant or comfortable. I would have to say in life there's more downs than there are ups. There's more struggles than there are and trials than there is pleasure and enjoyment. That's just the way of life. You know why life is that way? Because of what we're going to read here in Genesis, because of the fall of man. So God desires for us to work. Now look at the next verse here. It says in verse 6, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. We are here today because of God. And the only reason we're here today is because of God. We are not here today of our own doing, but because God created us, God made us, and God has given to each one of us the breath of life. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 100 and verse number 3. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 100 and verse number 3. Psalm 100 and verse number 3. Now, what I want to try to establish this morning is this principle that we are God's and we're accountable to God. Since we have not created ourselves, and there's a creator that made us, we are then, there's a principle through the Word of God that we are now accountable to the Creator. Look at Psalm 100 and look at verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves, and we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Now there's some commands in there this morning for us, because why? Because know ye not that it's not we that have made ourselves, verse 3 says, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. So because of verse 3, we need to make a joyful noise unto God, we need to serve Him with gladness, and we need to come into His presence with singing. Brethren, we have met together to worship the Lord. We are here this morning. I prayed last night and this morning that God would meet with us.
Amen.
That God would meet with us. That God would get in our services and touch hearts, touch minds, convict those that are lost, and encourage the saints to keep fighting a good fight. That God would be in our presence this morning. That the Lord Jesus Christ would meet with us and give us what each one of us needs. How does that come about? Number one, realizing you are not your own this morning. You are bought with a price.
That's true.
The price is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not your life no more. It is not my life no more. It is what He desires for my life and what He desires to come across and occur in my life. Do you understand? Anything that occurs or comes or happens to me in my life has to come through my Savior first. Do you understand? Has to come through Jesus. He's not ignorant, and He knows what's going on. Because look what the Bible says. Now look, this is important. This is important. You remember the story of Esther? And how they said, well, just go into the presence of the king. That was her husband. And she said, no, no, no. I can't go in the presence of the king unless I'm called into His presence. See, we kind of miss that in the United States of America because we don't have a king. But you just can't come into the presence of a king. Even if you're His own wife, He could take your head off and say, away with you, you're done. And Esther knew that principle of a king and a queen. Even though she was the queen, the king, she couldn't be called into His presence unless He said, come here. So when they told her, listen, you need to go talk to the king, she realized, this can go one of two ways. Now you're talking about His wife and somebody that He loved and cherished and chose. But she went into His presence. And what did the king do when she came into presence? What did he hold out? He held out his scepter. If he didn't hold out that scepter, you're in trouble. She come up and she touched that scepter and she had now connection with that king. Some will say, well, the word God or Lord is not mentioned in the book of Esther at all. Yet you have a perfect picture of Jesus Christ in the book of Esther, and He's that scepter that intercedes between us and the Father. We have access to the Father through that scepter, which is Jesus Christ. She touches that scepter, now she has access to the Father. She has access to the throne. Listen, you just don't bust into the presence of a king. When we come into church this morning, we desire to come into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right? So how are you supposed to come into the presence of a king? A good picture of that is also in Nehemiah. If you were a cupbearer, you couldn't appear before the king with a sad countenance because the king didn't like that. And you could lose your head if you had a sad countenance or a frown or you were down or upset and you were coming into the presence of the king. The king could have been, you're done. And Nehemiah knew that. I say all to say this is exactly what happens in Psalm 100 is we're to come into the presence of the king with a joyful noise, with gladness, with singing. Verse 4, with thanksgiving into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and to bless his name. Why? Because he's good. Do you understand this morning? Do you understand this morning? When we come into this church this morning, we're coming, we're hopefully desiring to come into the presence of the King. And in order to get the presence of the King and for Him to be pleased with us this morning, we need to come into His presence with thanksgiving. We need to come into His presence with gladness, joyfulness, praise. Because, not because of our situation or our state and what's going on in our life and all the things that we're facing. No, because if you go along those things, it's going to be very hard to come into church with gladness, with joyfulness, and with thanksgiving, with praise. Do you see this morning? If you're basing your gladness and your joyfulness and your praise and your thanksgiving with God on your situations and what's going on, you won't have those things. But if you realize that I'm not coming into God's presence because of my circumstances and my standings, and the reason I'm doing these things is because of what it's based off of how I feel. To where if I feel down, then I can't be joyful and praise God. No, God wants us to get to the point to where even though we may feel down, we may be heavy burdened, we may be laden, God says, listen, you can praise me, you can glorify me, you can thank me, you can lift your hands to me, not because of what's going on in your life, but because I'm good. Do you understand this morning? Lord willing, starting in August, I'm going to try to get a group together, a Bible study group together for a couple weeks. I'm working on it now. For grief and sorrow, some people have asked me to do something like that. So I'm going to try to set up a thing for people that are dealing with grief and sorrow and to go through it during one day a week for a couple weeks. Because I've had a number of people ask me about it. So I'm trying to put it together now. But what you've got to realize is you can't go off of your feelings. You say, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. I do know what I'm talking about. Because I think there's many a time where I used to go to church and I quenched the Spirit of God because I was going off my feelings rather than who God was. And it's not easy. I'm not saying this is easy. But I come in, hopefully, it doesn't matter what is going on in my life, I ought to praise God because He's good and He's the Lord and He's worthy of it. Do you understand? Now listen to me. I believe that if you could say, Lord, I told this to somebody the other night. I said, talk to God like you would just talk to anybody else. You understand? If you're mad at God, tell him you're mad at him. He's got enough that he can handle it. If you're angry with God, tell God, I'm angry with you. Because I believe if you do that, as soon as you try to start saying it, your eyes will start to weep and you'll realize how good He is. And He'll meet with you and give you what you need. Do you see, God wants us to go forward despite our circumstances because of who He is. He doesn't want us to be selfish. And ultimately, it comes back to selfishness and pride. These are serious things this morning. But there's power in them. And I keep having to learn it the hard way. I'm not there yet. I try to be open and honest with y'all. I can't even count the number of times I want to quit being pastor. I can't even count them now. But I'm not here because of what Chris Walton wants to do. I'm not the, listen, brethren, if it was my choice to be a pastor, I'd be back in Charleston right now. And it has nothing to do with anybody here. You have all been nothing but sweet to me. It's dealing with Chris Welton. Do you understand this morning? I want to run. I want to hide. I want to quit. I want to stop. Because, look, you hear that? I. There's only one person in the Bible that I know of that kept saying I, and it wasn't good. And that was Satan. Do you see that focus? Do you see the... Look, what I'm thinking about me and I, and this is how I feel, and this is what I think, and this is what's going on in my life. Me. No wonder you're not getting help. No wonder I'm not getting help. Because I'm looking at me rather than looking at him. Do you understand this morning? There's victory in that, and the devil does not want you to have it. He wants you to get so low to where he keeps pounding you and pounding you and pounding you and saying, and you're trying to get up, and he says, you're worthless, you're nothing, God doesn't care for you, God doesn't love you, God doesn't think of you, God's wicked, God hates you, and that's why he's doing these things to you, and that's why he's pounding you and beating you. Those are all lies from the devil. The Bible says the Lord is good. God is good, and God loves you, and God cares for you this morning. And God can bring you help. But you got to get the focus off of you and the focus on him. And when that occurs, some strength and encouragement and victory can occur in your life. And you can have joy despite your circumstances. You can have gladness despite your circumstances. You can praise despite your circumstances. You can be thankful despite your circumstances. And there's power in that. Look at Psalm 100 verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All, you somebody can say, well, that's to the Jews. No. All ye lands. That's Jew, Gentile, everybody. That's the whole earth. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. But don't do it when you feel depressed. No, there's no asterisk there. Don't do it when you don't have money like you need it. Don't do it when your finances are stretched. Don't do it when you have battles in your mind. No. Make a joyful noise, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence. How? With singing. Now, I'm not a good singer. I'll be the first to admit it. But when we sing these songs, I'm singing it to him. Do you understand this morning? Look what the Bible says. The Bible says to come into his presence. That's why we sing. That's why we play. Hopefully have instruments to play them. Because we're trying to come into the presence of God. But in order to come into his presence, you need to sing. It's the Bible. We just read it. So come into his presence with singing. Now listen. You want the king to meet with you. Hopefully you do. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, shelter in a time of storm. Come on. Yeah. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land. And again, I'm not saying this to anybody here. But I sing out because I'm singing out to the King. I've said this a lot of times here. When you get over to the other side, you're automatically going to do it because you're going to be in heaven. But to do it on this side, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost your pride. It's going to cost what you think of yourself. Well, preacher, I'm not a good singer. You're prideful. I'm trying to be all self-conscious and pious. And no, you're prideful. I don't come here to sing to think what Brother Lance thinks of my singing. I don't come to sing to think what Mr. Bill thinks of my singing, or Jason, or anybody in here. You can come up to me later and say, preacher, you are horrible. Guess what? I'm still going to sing out. Because it doesn't matter what you think. All that matters is, what does my King think? Do you see? So if we can't sing this morning, sing even louder. Look, I don't know about you, and I don't know how it's occurred in this church here. I haven't been very, very long. But I've been in service before where somebody's got up to sing and they couldn't really sing. And God got all in that thing. Why? Because it wasn't a matter of them keeping the right pitch and tone. Is their heart was trying to praise their God. And God got all in that thing. And then I've seen people get up and they got beautiful voices and the music is perfect. And ain't God nowhere 10 million miles of it because it's all ate up with pride. Just look at me and how wonderful I can sing in my beautiful voice and my beautiful sing. No, God's like, that's Satan right there. It's a father of pride. Do you see this morning? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And you say, preacher, I have things to where I can't be thankful this morning. Look back at Genesis chapter 1 or 2 real quick. Look, this is the principle I'm trying to get across to you this morning. Look at Genesis chapter 2 again and look at verse number 7. Look what the Bible says and get this principle in your mind and your heart this morning, please. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and look at verse number 7 again. All right, everybody there, look at it. And look what it says. And the Lord God formed man of what? Of the what? Of the ground. God created all things, everything's set up, the animals are there, the fish are there, the sun's in the sky, the moon's there, the heaven's created, everything's made, there's water, there's land, herbs, trees, everything's there. God takes some dirt, forms it together. And then look what the Bible says. Took the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He forms him with the dirt. I don't know if God bent over. I don't know what was up in the air. I don't know how God did it, but I know that God, the Bible says he took the dust of the ground. He had a nose, and the Lord breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man, that pile of dirt that God formed and made all of a sudden comes together and becomes man, and it has a living soul inside of it. Take your Bible, flip over to Genesis chapter 3 and look at verse number 19. Genesis 3:19. Genesis chapter 3 and look at verse number 19. Genesis 3 verse number 19. God's talking to Adam. The Lord's talking to Adam when he met him and he confronted him about the sin that him and wife, his wife had done. But look what he says in verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to where? Unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. If you can get a hold of that verse right there, you can get some victory in your life. Do you realize this morning, you are nothing but a glorified piece of dust or dirt? Do you understand this morning? But the enemy's so sly and he's so slick, and he makes us think that we will live forever in these bodies that we have today. The older you get and the longer God allows you to live, the closer you come to getting to the point to where you're going back to the dust of the ground. You say, preacher, this is pretty negative this morning. No, this is to get our eyesight and our mindsight and our heart sight on what really matters. Amen. What really matters? The most beautiful thing and the most amazing thing that I believe God ever created on this planet is mankind, both man and woman. Yet the most beautiful thing and the most magnificent thing, that miraculous thing that God created, man and woman, is going to go right back to where it came from. But the thing, one thing different though, is man became a living soul. Now the soul doesn't stay in the ground with the body. You see, right now, all we're like, our body is nothing more like our car that we get in and we drive it around and we can look at ourselves as our soul. We can get out of that body, out of that car at some point and move away. Basically, what our bodies are for us to now are nothing but a shell that God's allowed us to be in temporarily to bring Him glory, honor, and praise with the limited time that we have in this shell. Do you get that through your mind? You have this shell for only a little bit of time. What are you going to do with the time that you're inside your shell? This body, this flesh, that at some point, at time, if God, the Lord tarries, is going to go, what, Genesis chapter 3, right here in the beginning of the Bible, it says, it's going to return to the dust from where it came. Take your Bible and look at Job chapter 4 and verse number 12. Job chapter 4 and verse number 12. Job, the book of Job, chapter 4, and look at verse number 12. Job 4, and look at verse number 12. The Bible says here, Job 4:12. This is Eliphaz talking to Job, and he says, "Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof, in thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency, which is in them, go away? They die even without wisdom." Do you see, it doesn't matter what we accomplish on this earth. It doesn't matter. It means nothing unless it's done for the Lord Jesus Christ. You could win 10 Nobel Peace Prizes. You could be named Mr. Universe 10 times in a row, Miss Universe 10 times in a row. It does not matter. It's going to fade away. The moth is going to consume it because it's going to go right back to the dust of the ground again. Take your Bible and look over at Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, right after Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 18. Ecclesiastes 3:18. Ecclesiastes 3, and look at verse 18. This is Solomon talking, Solomon writing this book. He says, "I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth?" Look over at chapter 12, Ecclesiastes, same book. I'd rather look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." Do you realize? We're nothing but dust, and a life lived without Jesus Christ is a life of vanity. There's no purpose to it. There's no meaning to it, and it means absolutely nothing. Do you see what man's looking for? Man is looking for the fountain of life. Man is looking for immortality. He'll never find it outside of Jesus Christ. I saw a news article last night. Something came across our universe back in 2017, and they call it Oumuamua or something like that. And it was something like these scientists have never seen before, and it came across into our galaxy so quick, and it changed direction so quick that they don't understand what it was. And so they're saying that it was an alien, some type of alien life form, some type of alien material because of its trajectory and how it carried itself and how they couldn't really figure out what it was. Do you see, man is looking everywhere but to God for answers for immortality. They're hoping at some point to find some alien civilization out there that their intellect and their knowledge and their understanding is far vast than human mankind, and that it can provide mankind immortality. You watch. The further we go along with this, the more you're going to see them talking about aliens, and they've already said they're true, and how they're going to look to answers from these creatures, I believe they're devils, outside there, rather than God. It's going to occur. You see, this morning, man doesn't want to recognize and acknowledge that you're nothing but glorified dust. Look how good your preacher looks this morning in his pinstripe suit with his nice little tie and his white shirt and his nice little dress shoes that are semi-shined up. Don't I look all handsome and nice this morning? Yeah. Give me another 80 years if God tarries and I would not be standing here. And this suit would be moth-ridden, torn up, faded away. No matter how well I would take care of it, it's going to get worn out and it's going to decay and it's going to go back to the dust of the ground. Do you see how vain it is for individuals to look and to primp themselves up and say, look how beautiful I am and how wonderful I am. Yeah, give you 80 years. And I guarantee you, Vogue's not going to want to put you on the cover. Right? Go look at the magazine. No, don't. But if you did, look what they put on front of the magazine covers. They don't put somebody, and I'm not being mean this morning, I'm being honest. They don't put a bunch of women and have a centerfold of women from a nursing home in a magazine. Why? Because that's the end of mankind. You see, the devil wants you to think that you're invincible and you'll always be in the state that you want to be in. That's why it bothers me sometimes that older women that want to try to look like they're 30, 20, and 30 years old. Act, be your age. Look, there's nothing more beautiful than a woman that's older and realizes that her beauty is not in how she looks, but her relationship and walk with God. Do you understand this morning? Beauty is not how you can make yourself look with makeup or how you can do your hair or what you can wear. Your beauty is made up in your walk with God. Do you understand? But see, there's a lot of girls today, 12, 13 years old, they're taking guns, they're taking pills, and they're killing themselves at an alarming rate. Why? Because they're trying to be something that they can never be. Because the devil's lying to them. All they see all day long is these fake pictures of these women that look a certain way, but they're all photoshopped. And so you got 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old girls that see these things saying, I want to be like that. They don't eat. They go throw up in the bathroom after they do eat. And they're trying to make their bodies look a certain way. They're going to get surgeries on all parts of their body to try to be something that will never make them happy. Do you see this morning, brethren? There's only so much you can do with a pile of dirt. Preacher, what's the meaning this morning? Realize we got limited time left. Let's be about our Father's business. Let's glorify Him with the shell that He's given us. Understand? That's true beauty. That's true holiness. That's true godliness. Now, look, I'm not saying this morning, next week, we come in and we wear the oldest thing we got in the closet. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with trying to look nice. I'm not. Understand the principle of what I'm talking about this morning. Beauty is not an outward appearance. Beauty is the inward heart. My preacher said this before, and I agree with him 100% on this thing. I'll give you an example. He gives this example. God has created some people in some people's eyes more beautiful than he has created other people. Right? Get this. He knew a couple one time. They were both fitness instructors. He was a bodybuilder. She was a fitness instructor. In the world's eyes, he was the most handsome thing that you could think there was, and she was completely beautiful. Perfect bodies, both of them. Just the epitome of what everybody would desire to have and be, and they were married. And my pastor, he knew the woman because they claimed to be Christian, and he used to go get some vitamins from the shop to where she worked. And so she got talking to him one time, and he went in there one time, and he realized something's wrong with her. And he walked in there one time, and she said, "I am so sick of him. I don't even want him to touch me. I don't even want to be around him. He disgusts me." This perfect relationship with two perfect people with perfect looks, were in a bad situation. Because their life was only about looks. And my pastor said this before. He's seen some beautiful girls out there. God's made some beautiful people out there. And he said, but he met this one girl one time, and what the world would look at her is she's super beautiful and everybody would desire to be her. But he said, as soon as she opened her mouth, she fell down the ugly tree. As soon as she started talking, he's like, "Oh, you're not pretty no more. You may be pretty physically, but I wouldn't want to be your wife or girlfriend if the world counted on it." Because her attitude and her personality was horrible. But then he says this. He says there was the one time he would go to a place where him and his wife shopped. There was this young girl. What the world got as, all right, kind of like a Leah in the Bible. All right, nothing really much there. Didn't really look like you're supposed to look at all that. And he said, the more I got to know her, the more beautiful she became in my eyes because of her personality. Do you see this morning? We're nothing but dust. The Bible talks about, what is the Proverbs 31 woman? What does it say at the very end? Favor is deceitful, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. We're dust. We need to glorify God with the time he's given us in these bodies and not get caught up with everything the devil's trying to get us caught up with. Let us use what God's given us for his glory and his praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help me. Lord, I pray you'd help this church. God, help us to get a hold of these principles. Lord, help us to glorify you with the talents that you've given us, with these bodies that you've given us, Lord. May we use them for your pleasure, for your honor, and for your glory. Thank you for being willing to save us through the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. And to give us eternal life, Lord, that we can spend an eternity with you. And Lord, we ask these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brother. You may be dismissed. And we'll get Lord willing here in about 15 minutes. We'll begin the morning service.